Hello, my name is Stanley Bill. You're listening to Notes from Poland. This week, I'm back with political scientist Ben Stanley to talk about Poland's presidential runoff between Andrzej Duda and Rafał Trzaskowski. We look at their prospects, the controversies of the campaign, and scenarios for what might happen after the election. NotesFromPoland.com is the leading English language source of news, insight, and analysis on Poland. In this podcast, I look at the country from all angles: politics, history, culture, and society. You can get more news and the deeper stories about Poland at NotesFromPoland.com. This week, my guest once again is political scientist Ben Stanley from SWPS University in Warsaw. And partly by popular request, we're back to talk about the presidential runoff after our discussion last week of the first round of Poland's presidential elections. Welcome back to Notes from Poland, Ben.
Thanks for having me back, Stan.
Now, the first round results didn't bring any major surprises. President Andrzej Duda won 43.5% of the vote, while his centrist liberal main opponent, the mayor of Warsaw, Rafał Trzaskowski, won 30.5%, both of those very much within the range of pre-election polling, and sending them through to the runoff that we'll be discussing today. As expected, centrist conservative independent Szymon Hołownia was third with a solid 13.9%. He's since announced the launch of a new political movement, though the details of this are a bit sketchy at this stage. The far-right candidate Krzysztof Bosak put in a strong showing of 6.8%. We discussed the significance of this last week. And then the Polish People's Party candidate Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysz with 2.4% and the left candidate Robert Biedron with 2.2% both did worse than expected. And we talked about the problems of the left last week. So this brings us to the runoff on Sunday, July 12, between President Duda and the mayor of Warsaw, Rafał Trzaskowski. So what's at stake here? We know the president has the power to veto legislation. So if the opposition candidate wins, this could mean that PiS's legislative program is blocked. But what visions of Poland do these two candidates represent?
What we can essentially see in this election is the division which Poland has been characterized by over the last 30 years. This distinction between a vision of Poland as a country that seeks to integrate with its European partners, to open up its economy, to open itself up culturally to influences from outside, and a more, what political scientists would call a more demarcationist vision of Poland, one in which sovereignty is emphasized, one in which a particular and somewhat conservative vision of national identity and distinctly Polish values are emphasized. And I think that this is a clear division that lies behind the somewhat sort of tepid discussion of concrete policy issues in this election campaign. What this campaign represents more clearly is a distinction between two very different visions of how Poland should evolve as a country over the next few decades.
So where are we now in the campaign? What has happened in the last week? And what does the polling tell us about the current prospects of these two candidates with their different visions of Poland as you've outlined them?
Well, we're in something of a strange position in the campaign at the moment, because essentially, I get the impression from what has been said over the last week or so that the main candidates have pretty much already played their main cards in the first round. And we have 2 weeks of a sort of a tense standoff between two candidates who I suspect would just like to get the elections over and done with, as would most probably the Polish people as well. So in a sense, it has been something of a repetition of previous themes, perhaps in more subtle form. But the position that we're in at the moment is essentially both candidates attempting to try to reformulate their appeal to capture the remnants of the electorate that they couldn't already take for granted as being part of their second round votes.
I mean, where does the polling put them at the moment? Are they is it still close to 50-50 as far? I mean, you're pooling polls yourself and publishing that analysis. What is it telling you at this stage?
Every time I've run this model over the last week, it has either been a slight advantage to Trzaskowski or a slight advantage to Duda. And this is all within the margin of error anyway. There was this narrative that emerged just after the results came in, where people looked at Duda's result, compared it to the polling prior to the first round election, and said, well, Duda has outperformed his polls, so you know, this is the impetus he now needs. He's going to go on and win this by a fairly, you know, a small but still reasonably comfortable margin. That hasn't really materialized. One of the things that the polls showed us was that Duda outperformed his polling, but so did Trzaskowski. And second round polling since the election has either had Trzaskowski slightly ahead or has had Duda slightly ahead. So currently, polling the polls shows us that both are pretty much 50-50, and that there's no clear separation in statistical terms, at least in terms of how the candidates are polling. So there's been no trend in one direction or in another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you said that we're essentially rehashing some of the issues that already came out in the campaign in the first round. So what are those issues in particular, and how have you seen them recycled? Or you said perhaps in slightly more subtle ways. Has there been a radicalization of the rhetoric, or are you suggesting that it really has been toned down to some extent?
I think that and a good example here is the LGBT issue, which was in the first round was articulated in a very aggressive and a very polarizing way, one in which it was very much made an issue about people rather than about the issue itself, and about people in the sense of depersonalizing LGBT people. That rhetoric, I think, Duda has concluded, is too risky, in the sense that it may end up alienating some of the more moderate voters that he needs to get himself over the line. However, we have seen a reiteration of the LGBT issue with Duda's announcement that he's going to submit a legislative proposal for a change to the constitution to make it unconstitutional for same-sex couples to adopt. That is revisiting this issue, but doing so in a way which is more policy-oriented rather than oriented towards framing this issue as a culture war.
Yeah, yeah. And the response of Trzaskowski here, of course, has been interesting and tells us a lot about the challenges he faces as he attempts to balance out left votes that he needs and conservative centrist votes that he needs. So he has, I mean, he's actually commented on the proposal specifically. I know he's said that he does not support adoption by same-sex couples, but has he commented specifically on Duda's proposal, and how do you interpret this position that he's taken?
Well, his comment on Duda's proposal was, first of all, to stress that he agrees with Duda on the broad issue at stake, that same-sex couples should not be able to adopt. But his criticism of Duda was framed in terms of attempting to sort of fish around for issues that to use in his campaign that really aren't of all that much relevance. I think Trzaskowski has tried very clearly not to be drawn into this issue, not to allow the LGBT issue to sort of be the main framing of the electoral campaign itself, which is clearly what Duda wanted. By reiterating this issue, he's attempting to get Trzaskowski to define himself in relation to the position that Duda has taken. And clearly the intention here is to get Trzaskowski to take the other side of the argument. This is problematic for Trzaskowski in the sense that he either goes along with what I suspect is in accordance with his personal convictions, which is to oppose both Duda's rhetoric and to some extent his policy proposals on this issue. But
because he's been strongly in favour of gay marriage, certainly in the past. Yeah.
But he has to appeal beyond his natural electorate, and the problem that he faces in particular is that he has to appeal in two directions. He has to appeal to people on the left who are outraged at Duda's rhetoric and worried about the policy implications of it, and he has to appeal to people who voted for Christoph Boczek in the first round, who are not necessarily going to be particularly fired up by a candidate who is coming straight out and saying that they're in favour of LGBT rights. So yeah, it's a delicate topic for him, and one where he has to, on one hand, avoid being drawn into it. On the other hand, he needs to send signals to both sides of a differing sides of the electorate as to what he is actually going to do about these issues.
Well, I mean, it's been fairly apparent that he's irritated people on the left and possibly put off some left voters through these comments that he agrees with Duda's position on adoption of children by same-sex couples. But, you know, as you say, there's something in a way inevitable about this. And perhaps his position that this is a sort of substitute issue and not important to most voters is what that big mass of centrist conservatives who he really needs in the middle, that's probably what they think of this issue. But it's certainly a difficult one, and clearly a big part of the strategy for Duda in raising this LGBT question, as you point out, is to make life uncomfortable for Trzaskowski. Can I ask you about how Trzaskowski's been trying to hit Duda? I mean, one thing that's come out this week has been this question of a pardon that the president gave to a child sex offender. Now, this came out in the media. There was controversy this week when a very sensationalized version of this story was put on the front page of a tabloid newspaper that's partly German-owned. And Duda and his team have been talking about a German attack on him or German attempts to interfere in the Polish election. Should say there's no evidence of any German intervention in the decisions of a Poland-based editorial team. But nevertheless, it was a sensationalized headline. Did you think that Trzaskowski's campaign was involved in that whole process, that this was a hit on Duda that the campaign was advancing? And did you see other areas in which there was perhaps a radicalization of Trzaskowski's attacks or a toning down of that rhetoric?
Well, I mean, I think that there are always going to be assumptions that issues like this that come up at this point in a campaign have been kept in reserve and are being used strategically by publications or by broadcasters that support one side or the other. So in that sense, you know, I'm sure that this is something that that has not been discovered yesterday. But what I think Trzaskowski has done in this situation is essentially to not to make his response central to the way in which this issue has been presented. The information has been put out there in the press. You can see that a lot of people who are sort of involved one way or another with Trzaskowski's campaign, either directly or as fellow members of Trzaskowski's party, who have been going at this issue very aggressively. And Trzaskowski himself clearly has attempted to remove himself to some extent from that ferment, to stand above it and let Duda and his supporters do the responding, on the principle that if you're explaining, you're losing.
If you're explaining the pardoning, yeah, of a child sex offender, there's no way in which that becomes a plus for Duda's campaign.
On the other hand, it has given them the opportunity to play on anti-German sentiments, which I think is an element, yeah, of the campaign which can be effective for Duda, and which perhaps would not necessarily, without this topic having emerged, would not necessarily have formed part, mm-hmm, of the election campaign. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, Duda has clearly seized on the opportunity to rephrase this, to reframe this as an issue of German interference in the Polish election campaign, rather than an issue of the technicalities of the pardoning of a sex offender.
That's very much a good pivot for them, is to be able to pivot that to an issue that they like to return to, of foreign ownership of the media, and we might get back to this later. And of course, yes, to anti-German sentiment, which pieces has mobilized in election campaigns, at least since Donald Tusk was criticized for having a grandfather supposedly in the Wehrmacht. That campaign was, what year was that? That would have been back in 2005, was it?
2005, yeah.
2005, yes. So this is an old chestnut, and it's come back up again. Let's move, I think, to some of the numbers behind these debates and the strategies that the two candidates are taking on at the moment. So, in short, what paths to victory do the two candidates have? And we're talking here about votes they need to get from other candidates from the first round who have dropped out, from voters who voted for them, from people who didn't vote in the first round. So what does Duda need to do to win? Where will his votes come from? What about Trzaskowski? Where will his votes come from? What are the paths they need to take?
In a very broad sense, there's only really one path that that both of them can take, and that is to attempt to marshal enough support from the first round voters of other candidates, and potentially from new voters, to get a marginal advantage over the other. I think that they're both in very, despite different starting points, they're in pretty similar situations here. The polling has not changed from the second round polling that was done prior to the first round election. So in that sense, it doesn't look as if the first round election has changed much in terms of their starting points. So we can assume that both candidates come to this election, to this second round, essentially with somewhere in the order of between sort of 45 to 47% support already baked in. That has been fairly pretty much the case over the last month or so for both of the second round candidates. Trzaskowski, maybe in mid-May, was a little bit further behind. Mm-hmm. But since then, all of the second round polling has indicated that they both candidates can count on at least 45-47% support.
Okay, so it's a fairly small number of votes that are going to decide this.
Well, I mean, we saw immediately after, on the evening itself of the announcement of the exit poll results. I mean, we had to wait until the next day for the final results, but it was pretty clear what the situation was. Immediately, both candidates made a pitch for Krzysztof Bosak's voters, which was expected that this would happen given given how Bosak had been polling. And I think that the reason they did this is because where Bosak's voters will break, for which candidate they will break, or whether they will head into abstention in the second round, is the big unknown of this election. It was pretty clear from previous polling that Trzaskowski could count on the majority of Hołownia's voters.
So that's the centrist conservative independent who was the third place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, given that they severely underperformed expectations, also Kosiniak-Kamysz and Biedron's voters. So that, I think, was already assumed that where Trzaskowski would pick up votes, some support from that side, so a disproportionately high level of support, would be baked into Trzaskowski's second round polling numbers. So the big uncertainty was, and still remains, which way are Bosak's voters going to go? Where are the don't knows and the potential new voters going to come into play?
Can we stop on that Bosak question? Because in a way that's counterintuitive to say that it's a great unknown, because one might think, well, the Bosak represents Konfederacja, which of course is a rather odd bag of different political options and preferences, but nevertheless is often defined as far right, and certainly in its sort of cultural views is in that direction, with the sort of strong version of nativism, which you'd think would bring his voters much closer to Duda, irrespective of their suspicions of peace's statist approach to the economy, because there's this libertarian also aspect, and therefore quite strongly economically liberal. But it still seems surprising to me that this would really be an unknown. It would just seem that, particularly with the LGBT issue, which we've seen before, motivates Confederatia voters, many of whom are young men with conservative views. So what is it really here that's making this so uncertain? Or where can Trzaskowski pick up Bosak voters? And also, I think it's worth talking about how he's trying to do so, because this is something that I think certainly concerns people on the left and liberals in Poland. So we can talk a little bit about Trzaskowski and Bosak voters.
The temptation to look at this purely in ideological terms is it helps us to a degree understand where some of Bosak's voters might go. There's clearly a significant proportion of his electorate that is going to be motivated more by the same sort of cultural issues that that peace has been emphasizing during this campaign with respect to LGBT rights, but also more broadly the more nativist vision for Poland that that peace has. This is going to be attractive to a number of Bosak's voters. But Konfederacja is a mixed bag in this respect. It it contains a strongly nationalist, nativist contingent, but it also has elements that are far more interested in this libertarian approach to the economy than they are in the basket of issues that that informs Peace's nativism. That's not really something that appeals to them all that much. So I think that some of those voters will look at Trzaskowski and think, well, this is not somebody that I would vote for under normal circumstances, but he will at least be a guarantor of a less interventionist, or at least will stand up for a less interventionist state, will potentially veto bills that would transfer too much decision-making power to the executive over areas of the economy that they would prefer to see left.
Yeah, that all makes sense. But if that's the case, if there's a group of libertarian voters who are mostly motivated by economic questions in the Bosak camp, then why has Trzaskowski also reached out to the nativist or even nationalist crowd? So, for instance, he in an interview on television, he said that he would be willing to participate. Now, he gave conditions, but nevertheless said he would be willing to participate in the March of Independence, which is this yearly march on Independence Day in Warsaw, which is organized by far-right groups. And has hosted far-right groups from other parts of Europe, has featured racist slogans in the past. And so he said that, you know, this is the liberal, supposedly liberal mayor of Warsaw saying that he would participate in this. So why does he need to... Wouldn't those people just not vote for him anyway? And why is he trying to reach out to that group instead of just focusing on the economic question with Bosak voters?
He said that he would participate under the proviso that it wasn't
politicized,
that it wasn't an idea, that it wasn't sort of an occasion for the expression of ideological values. So, in the sense, he's trying to have both sides of it. He's trying to send signals to people who might be minded to participate in that sort of event that he's not this this cosmopolitan liberal for whom patriotism and celebration of national values and attachment to the narrative of Poland's history is something completely alien. And I think that that's something that he has to do not only to win over some Bosak voters, but also to appease the kind of the moderate conservatives that he has been trying to appeal to as well. So I think it's not solely a pitch for Bosak voters, but more an attempt not to be painted into a corner as a cosmopolitan liberal candidate who is detached from the main currents of Polish patriotism. Because remember, the Independence Day March may be organized by the kinds of nativists that are associated with Bosak's electorate. But it's also an event which occurs with the participation of and with the approval of many people who would not see themselves as Confederacia voters. So in that sense, I think he's trying to... it's less, in that sense, an attempt to appeal to Bosak voters who are sort of in the nativist camp, more to ensure that he doesn't cut himself off from those voters. So I think he's trying to play this perhaps a little bit more carefully than he's been given credit for. But certainly the image of someone like Trzaskowski coming out and saying that he would participate in this march, on the one hand, is going to provide some reassurance to voters on the right. On the other hand, it's worrying for those on the left who are also voters that Trzaskowski has to try to pitch his appeal to. But I think where Bosak's voters are concerned, we also need to look at sociodemographics. It's not enough just to look at the ideological side of things. One of the things that we saw with Bosak's electorate in the first round is that many of those who voted for Bosak were more highly educated than the average Pole, often quite urban-oriented, and often, to a significant extent, younger than the average voter. These were also constituencies, particularly when it concerns education, among which Trzaskowski did significantly better than Duda. So in that respect, appealing to Bosak's voters and expecting that at least some of Bosak's electorate will be minded to vote for Trzaskowski also reflects the sociodemographic basis of these two parties' electorates. It isn't purely about ideology. I think that there's this That's tendency because Confederacia is a very is a party that doesn't shy away from controversy in terms of its ideological pronouncements. There's this tendency to assume that everything that is relevant to that party is ideology. But this is a party that also has a fairly reasonably, by Polish standards, clear sociodemographic profile to its electorate. It is differentiated, but then so are the other parties as well. But those factors, I think, that will be important in terms of determining whether Bosak voters decide to opt for one side or the other.
I mean, do you think all of this, to some extent, gives Trzaskowski a credibility problem, to the extent that he's trying to shift his image in a way, at least for certain groups, or to suggest that he doesn't represent things that he's on the record as having represented? I mean, he has condemned the March of Independence quite strongly in the past, for example. Similarly, I mean, he said quite a few positive things about Lech Kaczynski during this presidential campaign, and critics point out that he and his side have been in power in Warsaw for many years and haven't done anything to sort of memorialize Lech Kaczynski of substance, which of course he's now promising that there will be a street for Lech Kaczynski in Warsaw. Is there a sense in which this just seems like a clearly instrumental shift? And therefore that it's really not, he's not going to have the credibility to win these votes that he's trying to win, because they're just, people are not going to believe him. Whereas Duda, on the other hand, has this very clearly represented position that he hasn't really strayed away from. We know what vision Duda stands for of Poland. That's a bit less clear with Trzaskowski. Do you think that's a problem? Do you think he can win these votes, these Bosak votes, for example?
Well, I think that Trzaskowski will be aware that he is running as a candidate who is expected to a certain extent, to stick up for the kind of pluralism that he has defended in the past. So in that respect, appealing beyond those who would ordinarily support him and people who would usually see Civic Platform and Trzaskowski himself as a potential deserving recipient of their support, it reflects not only his interest as a candidate, but also it reflects the fact that this election is essentially, to some extent, a battleground between pluralistic and monistic visions of Poland. So I think that...
And a kind of referendum on peace and Duda, in a way.
Yeah. So in that sense, appealing beyond those who would normally support him is, I think, that something that people would, to a certain extent, expect both of a presidential candidate who, by the very nature of a presidential race, has got to broaden his appeal beyond his natural constituency to get over the 50% threshold. But also, in Trzaskowski's case, as representative of a different understanding of Polish politics. Whether people take that seriously, as you suggest, is another question. This is it's clear that there are constituencies that Trzaskowski, who is appealing to, that previously he would have run a mile from, and the notion that there is respect in the Trzaskowski camp for Lech Kaczyński opens him up very much to charges of hypocrisy and of sort of instrumental use of Lech Kaczyński's name.
I mean,
as a way of agitating law and justice, which has proven effective in the past.
Yeah. I mean, does the result depend ultimately on whether he is able to convince voters in those groups?
I mean, as you said earlier, not everyone is going to fall for this.
Yep.
Trzaskowski has to count on enough people falling for it to get him over the 50% line. I'm sure that if this was an election in which the stakes were, it was clearer that Duda was going to win, Trzaskowski would not be sort of making hostages to fortune in this election by... aligning himself with groups and with ideas that clearly he doesn't believe in. But given that the margin is so close, he has to take some risks in this respect.
Yep. Very quickly, before we conclude, could you tell us a little bit about the left voters and how that looks at the moment? Now, Duda can get some of these, can't he? But Trzaskowski, we would expect to have the majority. But the question is, will some of them just not turn out? How does it look to you at the moment?
I think that that third option is the bigger worry for Trzaskowski. I think the assumption has been from the beginning of the campaign, full stop, that ultimately left-wing voters were going to go for Trzaskowski purely because he could count on them as voting for him as the non-Duda candidate. I think that this is a risk. The risk of losing those votes is a risk that has been understated. The focus on capturing Bosak's votes has somewhat distracted from the problem that Trzaskowski may face in holding on to the votes of people on the left. Not only those who are motivated more by economic issues and are more potentially mobilizable by Duda, but also those who are who have become very much alienated by Trzaskowski's rather vague stance on the LGBT issue in particular, and on his pitching of his appeal at nativist voters for Bosak. So I think that taking the votes of the left for granted is potentially a mistake that might be going somewhat under the radar where Trzaskowski's campaign is concerned.
That's interesting. I mean, interesting to see if we see a sort of swing of the pendulum in the last week of the campaign, if we see him reaching out to those voters. Now, we're not going to conclude with any predictions because that would seem unwise in a race that's poised at 50-50 at the moment. But I do want to talk about scenarios after the election. Now, if Duda wins, in your opinion, will Poland begin to move further down a sort of path to soft authoritarianism? Would you expect peace to move into action with a new raft of controversial laws? For example, we've heard the Justice Minister talk again, and this has come up on numerous occasions in the past, about ideas to control private media who are critical of the government. Or do you think that peace has essentially done most of what it planned to do? Its majority is fragile, and so we still won't really see the same level of controversy as we saw in the first term. What's your sense?
Well, I think that the mention of the media issue is relevant here, because clearly this is an issue that has come up in the past. Media has always been a key issue for peace and for Kaczyński in particular, in terms of the way in which he understands how how politics works in terms of the role that the media plays in framing issues and in giving credibility or taking credibility away from political actors. So I think that this is always an important issue. It's more sensitive than in the sense that it involves significant economic interests in Poland that the government knows that it can't afford to alienate. In that sense, it's an issue that has become that has been harder for peace to take action on because of the interests involved, because of the need not to alienate the US, for example, because one of the key critical outlets
is TVN, which is owned by an American company, Discovery.
So,
right? Yeah.
So in that sense, when Ziobro says that action will be taken after the election, I don't know whether we necessarily should take that seriously because
we've heard it many times before, and nothing's happened.
Action has been promised in the past. It has come up against clear sort of pushback, the issue has been somewhat ignored after that. In terms of the institutional aspects of their changes so far, I think it would be right to say that a lot of what they wanted to do has been done in the first term, but that doesn't preclude future developments. I think it's often been the case over the last few years that people have tended to sort of suggest that, well, peace has done what it needs to do now. It's captured the institutions it needs to capture. So it's going to sort of switch back into governing in a more ordinary mode, which is sort of compatible with this, sufficiently compatible with Poles' notions of a functioning democracy. But peace has always sort of outlasted those predictions in some ways. Mm. Whenever anyone has suggested that this is an end to things now and that we're going to have more normal politics, peace has then pressed on with further changes. So I think that...
You're right. I mean, that happened in the 2015 elections, didn't it? You know, there was very much the sense of the party's moderated. That's what some commentators were saying. And, of course, that was not what happened at all.
But even after the the capture of the Constitutional Tribunal, there were some who were saying, well, now that peace has control of this this institution, that's enough. That's what it needs to be able to ensure that its bills are not going to be essentially vetoed by the adverse judgments of a constitutional tribunal. Mm-hmm. And yet peace has constantly pushed on beyond what people thought plausible and possible. And I think to a certain extent, the party is now... in that respect, somewhat of a prisoner of its own reputation. It needs to keep conflict a part of Polish politics in order to maintain its raison d'être.
Yeah.
I don't think that peace now...
In its core base electorate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think peace now knows how to govern in what we might see as the mode of ordinary politics. It has to keep the temperature high. It has to cause polarization and controversy to maintain its dominance over Polish politics and to maintain control of the narrative. So it's harder to see now where these areas of controversy will come from. But we've been given some foreshadowings of where peace might go after the next election. First of all, with the media issue, but also with the LGBT issue. This may be now the moment in which peace really kicks into gear with the culture war in terms of actual legislation, in terms of going out harder on the abortion issue, for example, which is also an issue that it has fought shy of to some extent for fear of what the electorate might do. If with the presidential election over, with Duda reinstalled for another 5 years, there is much that peace can do over the next 3 or 4 years to make good on the previous promises that it has made about fundamentally reorienting Poland in cultural terms.
I mean, the other thing, of course, we hear foreshadowed is the idea that we will finish our judicial reforms. I mean, that's something that Kaczynski said on a number of occasions. Again, I think as with the media law, where European law and the US alliance make it difficult to imagine how they could do this unless they really wanted to have a massive battle. similarly with the judicial reform, I think the pushback, especially from the European Court of Justice, has been so significant, and peace has backed down, that it might be hard to imagine them going into another big battle that they might be likely to lose. But maybe they want to push things further than they have before. Maybe they will feel that the time for a bigger confrontation is ripe. But I think your suggestion also is there may be things around the corner that we can't yet foresee.
I think that much of what peace has been doing over the last few years has been essentially testing the waters of what is possible. Mm-hmm. I think that the idea that in 2015 they had this all mapped out in advance is a fundamental misconception. Over the last few years, they have been seeing what they can do, what they can get away with, and what they can't get away with. And so a lot of what will happen over the next few years if Duda gets back into the presidential office is unpredictable as much to for peace, I think, as it is for us.
Yeah. What happens if Trzaskowski wins? Will we see fresh parliamentary elections? I mean, this is something that we've heard from insiders in the peace camp, that Kaczynski might put the pedal to the metal and call for fresh parliamentary elections in the very near future. Do you think that will happen, and what would be the reasoning here?
I would say it is a strong possibility that that will happen. Firstly, the powers of the presidency come into play here. While Trzaskowski can't really articulate a positive policy vision in the absence of a government that is going to cooperate with him, what he can do is veto much of what the peace government will be looking to do. And he has said that he will not, you know, just be a president who will veto everything. But by their very nature, many of the things that peace is looking to do are things that Trzaskowski is going to fundamentally disagree with, both in political terms and as guardian of the constitution, which is, you know, it's easy to forget, but this is, you know, what the presidency is supposed to be. So I think in that respect, we can expect conflict from the off, sharpened by the attacks that are going to continue on President Trzaskowski from public media, mm-hmm. and that this will lead both sides into an escalation of hostilities. Kaczynski will have very little patience for having a situation in which pieces, legislative initiatives are being vetoed by a hostile president, and where there is no certainty of being able to overturn those vetoes. A 3/5 majority in parliament is needed to overturn a presidential veto.
But and is there is any prospect
that peace can be sure of?
That's right. But is there any prospect that with fresh elections, peace could win a 3/5 majority in the parliament? I mean, that just seems.
I don't think there's any prospect that peace could win. What I think there is a possibility of is that if peace were to win a larger majority, that together with parts of the of a potential parliamentary opposition who might be less minded to block everything that peace is doing, they could potentially be able to assemble ad hoc majorities to overturn presidential vetoes, because the minor parties will be looking to try to find a more meaningful political role for themselves. If Konfederacja, for example, after an autumn election, say, were to use Bosak's raised profile to conduct an effective parliamentary campaign and potentially
become the third force
with a larger proportion of seats,
yep.
they could potentially end up being a party that was in a position to give peace the majorities that they would need to overturn presidential vetoes. Mm-hmm. So I think it will be a throw of the dice where peace are concerned, and there will be a heavy element of risk involved in it, because of course an election like that could end up going the other way. Yep. But I think that it will be a risk that Kaczynski would prefer taking than opting for 3 years of stagnation where yep. peace is increasingly blamed for the post-COVID economic downturn while not being able to do anything to sort of distract from that.
Yeah, and Kaczynski has form in the past for taking these kinds of political risks, and as you say, for not having patience to deal with a status quo that might require compromise. Well, we'll find out which of these scenarios might be in the future for Poland on Sunday evening, when the first exit polls come in for the presidential runoff between Andrzej Duda and Rafał Trzaskowski. Ben Stanley, thanks very much for joining me on Notes from Poland.
Thanks for having me.